Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Game of Thrones week four. We are in our series, The Game of Thrones. And as you know, we've been answering two questions in this series as we talk about the Game of Thrones. You know, we're talking about judgments to come. One day when we all stand before God's throne. We've been asking two questions, and question number one is this: when we do stand before God's throne, which throne will we be at? We get to choose it in this life, and there are two thrones. We've been talking about this whole series. There are two thrones up ahead. The judgment seat of Christ is one throne. That is a judgment for believers where rewards will be passed out. 1,000 years later will be a second throne, the judgment, or the great white throne judgment for unbelievers. The Bible describes it. We'll get into it today. For the dead, unbelievers, and that will not be a judgment for rewards. That will be a sentencing. So two questions. Question number one, one day when you stand before the Lord, which throne will you be at? Number two question is, when you do stand before the Lord, will you be rewarded or will you be sentenced? And again, these are sobering questions, and you know, we've had quite a bit of discussion. We've looked at this in a lot of detail, and I want to encourage you. We're going to kind of jump into it. And so I want to encourage you, if you've missed any of these sessions, go back, watch them online, listen to the messages, look at all the materials, the notes, and so on. Get caught up to speed as we now get into, you know, week number four. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Let's look at it. Revelation 20 says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So again, this is very sobering. And we're going to talk about these books. You know, obviously we don't know for certain which books, what books will be opened, but we can infer from a lot of other passages what those books might be, and that's what we're going to do today. The books were opened, and so we're going to look at three potential books: the book of secrets, the book of words, and the book of life. All right, so with that in mind, let's talk about first this book of secrets. And you know, before we get into the book, let me just say it is really sobering, this whole idea that, you know, that there's such a place as a lake of fire, the final form of a place called hell. But listen, you need to know this. Jesus spoke three words about hell for every one word he spoke about heaven or salvation. It was that serious and it was that real in the ministry of Jesus. And so we don't want to minimize it. We don't want to, you know, overlook it and not talk about it. It's one of those things we need to talk about. And so let's talk about this first book then, the book of secrets. The books were opened. The dead stand before this throne. And again, let me just say this before we get into the book of secrets. The dead standing before this throne, by the Bible definition of the dead, small and great, are those who are spiritually dead, separated from God. They're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. They are separated from God, dead in their sins and trespasses. And they have not received God's forgiveness, God's mercy, his redeeming love. Now, it's available to every single one of us. Everybody watching, it's available to all of us today. But if you've not yet received salvation through Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are dead, spiritually separated from God. And it's the dead that stand before the Lord at this throne, okay? So then the books are open. Let's talk about this book then, the book of secrets. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it is good or evil." So in other words, we're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to say, "Well, Jesus is not the Lord of your life. Let's see if your works would cause you to be righteous enough to make it into heaven. And if there's any failure at all in any of the books, then we're not making it in by our works. So we look through the book of Secrets. And so it's interesting, you know, just recently, some of you have heard about this, but just recently, you know, there was a big hacker situation into a website called the Ashley Madison website. And it is a website for extramarital affairs. I mean, it's just unbelievable that such a thing exists. That people could go to a website, married people could go to this website to have an extramarital affair. So anyway, somebody hacked into this particular website because they didn't like what was going on about this whole concept and wanted to expose it and get them to shut this website down. So anyways, here's the thing. 40 million people were signed up to use this website. 40 million people. In theory, 40 million married people. But do you know that they hacked into it and they revealed the secret of 32 million of them. They didn't even reveal all 40 million yet, but they did reveal 32 million names and email addresses of those who'd gone to this site. I mean, that was a secret. That was a secret sin, adultery, something happening that shouldn't have been happening, and it was revealed just because some hackers got into it. Listen, that's small potatoes. That's nothing compared to the Book of Secrets. That's going to reveal everything about all of us if we're at that throne, the great white throne. Romans 2:16 says this. It says, on that day, the judgment day, when, as my gospel proclaims, God, by Jesus Christ, will judge men in regard to the things which they conceal, their hidden thoughts. So in Romans 2, again, we're just reminded, everything that's hidden is going to come out. We can hide it for now, but we can't hide it for then. And I love this. It just reminds us again that Jesus is the one sitting on the throne as the judge. God, by Jesus Christ, will do the judging of all things, in particular hidden things. So the Book of Secrets is going to reveal stuff. Some of you, I know, maybe you're squirming. If Jesus isn't the Lord of your life, this is definitely a squirm situation. Let's go over to another scripture. Luke 8, verse 17. Says, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. So again, just, you know, letting us know everything secret's going to be revealed. And all of us have things we're not proud of. All of us have secrets, things that we wouldn't want anybody to know about. But the Lord does know about it. And so you want to be sure that in this life, you receive God's mercy, God's forgiveness, and salvation through Jesus Christ. We'll mention that in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5 says, so do not make any hasty or premature judgments before the time when the Lord comes again. For he will both bring to light the secret things that are now hidden in darkness and will disclose and expose the secret aims, motives, and purposes of the heart. Then every man will receive his due commendation from God. So again, just telling us everything that's hidden, and not just what we did, not just what we said, but why we did it, why we said it, our motives, our aims. And so even on the surface, you know, sometimes what we're doing can look very noble and very good, but it's the Lord who knows the secret motives and the aims of our heart. And so I think, isn't it obvious with this one? I mean, none of us are going to pass this test. None of us are going to come out unscathed when secrets are revealed. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. And all the people said, amen. Thank God for his mercy that forgives us and covers up our secrets with his blood. D.L. Moody said this. He was a famous evangelist. He used to say this, that if a camera was ever invented that could take a picture of the heart of man, the inventor would starve to death because no one would buy such a thing. No one wants his secrets exposed. So the Book of Secrets. Here's the solution to the Book of Secrets. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What do we have to do? Confess our sins to him. And he's faithful and just. I love what it says in Romans 6:23. The first half says, the wages of sin, even our secret sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so listen, just be encouraged. When you receive Jesus as Lord, when you confess your sins, his blood washes away all of the secret sin, and that is good news. All right, let's look at another book, two more books. Let's look at this one, the Book of Words. So a lot of times people didn't even know, again, that our words were going to be judged if we're standing at this great white throne. Now, let me just remind you of the good news. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you are covered in his blood. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus washes away all of my sins. So I won't have to stand before the Lord. You won't have to stand before the Lord and give an account of your secret sins or of the sins or of the things you said with words. But if Jesus isn't the Lord of your life, you need to be advised that these books exist, the Book of Words. Matthew 12, 33 through 37 says this, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, the fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, Jesus said this, he says, and I tell you this, you must give an account on the judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So Jesus is letting us know that our words, we're going to be held accountable if we're at the great white throne judgment for our words. So there's a couple words you want to make sure you've said, but let's talk about the words you want to make sure that, you know, that you haven't said, although all of us would be guilty of having said them. Okay, so scientists tell us this. This is interesting. Scientists tell us this, that no word that's ever been spoken just evaporates. No word we ever speak is lost. The sound waves continue on indefinitely, available to be recaptured at any time in the future. Well, the only person that would have the ability to recapture those words, those sound waves, would be God himself. Sound, you know, sound waves travel at around 768 miles an hour, depending on the density of the air in which they're traveling. So as soon as you and I speak words, they're just sound waves. But they just don't evaporate and cease to exist. Those sound waves continue on into space and time forever, I suppose, until the books are opened. And any word we've ever said, it's out there floating around somewhere. Those sound waves are bouncing around the universe somewhere. They can be recaptured. And he tells us here, we're going to have to give an account of every idle word. One version says every idle or inoperative word, words that just were words of nothing. Proverbs says the power of life and death is in the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. So Jesus said, you're going to have to give an account. And listen, it's going to be by your words you'll be acquitted, or by your words you'll be condemned. So let me give you a couple of thoughts and examples. Many years ago, I was in Israel with a group, with a tour group, and one of the guys in the group was a reporter and an author, and he was just there kind of doing a story on this group, this group of Christians and Jews that were together in Israel. And so he was doing a story, and we got to know him, super nice guy, had some great conversations, but at one point he asked us this question. He said to me, he said, do you think I'm saved? And I knew a little bit about his background. I knew a little bit about what he had told us so far that he believed and about the circles he ran in. And I said, well, based on what you've told us so far, let me ask you some other questions. What do you believe? I said to him, what do you believe about Jesus? And he said, well, I believe he was a good man. I believe he existed. He was a historical figure. I believe he lived in Israel. I said, what else do you believe in? And he said, well, that's about it. I don't believe he was God. I said, okay. He said, so will God send me to hell? That's what he said. So will God send me to hell? I said, well, the truth is, God won't send you to hell per se, the way you're saying it. Your words will send you to hell. He says, what? What do you mean? I said, well, because you just told me with your words, you just told me that you believe Jesus existed, but you don't believe he's God. And so then he said this. He goes, well, I thought, you know, God might be lenient. I said, well, I thought you didn't believe in God or didn't believe he was God. And, you know, we had a little trapped conversation. But his words, by his words, he had said. Well, we know the solution to the book of words. We know the solution is in Romans chapter 10. Let's look at it. Chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I mean, it's right here. This is the solution to the book of words. When you stand before the Lord, and I hope again none of you are at this judgment, but in the event you were there, and the books were opened, and the book of words were opened, your only rebuttal would be to be able to say, but Lord, I confess Jesus as my Lord. With my mouth, I said, I confess, and in my heart, I believed. Then that would void all of the negative, bad, sinful, you know, words that would keep you from the Lord, that would acquit you of all the unbelieving words. Words of faith will acquit you. Words of unbelief, words of I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Jesus, he's not my Lord. Those words will condemn you. I don't want to accept Jesus as the Lord of my life. Those words will condemn you. What if you don't say anything? Apathy will also condemn you. You have to have some words on record. You can't have silence on record. You have to have some words on record. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. More importantly, Jesus is my Lord. I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead. I confess with my mouth. God, record this in heaven. Let the sound waves be recorded for all of eternity. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want that recorded. If that's the case, that's good news for you. You won't even be at this judgment. You'll be at the judgment seat of Christ, where you'll be rewarded, the Bible says, and we've talked about it. We'll get to it again in another couple of weeks. But at this judgment, are you guys following this? I believe you are. I just want to make sure you are. The great white throne judgment, it's a judgment you don't want to be at. It's a judgment where God's justice and his righteousness will be proven to be valid. He doesn't technically need the books, but he's using the books so that for all the universe to see and to know he is just and he is fair. And those who were sentenced justly. It wasn't just arbitrary. It wasn't just God being mean. No, people had a free choice. And in this life, they chose or didn't choose certain things. And we're opening the books to show the choices people made. And so then when people are sentenced, the Bible says no one will have an excuse. No one's going to stand before the Lord and go, hey, God, that's not fair. You don't have any evidence. The Lord will say, I know. Here's the thing. I do have evidence. The books. It's the books. That's the evidence. Our works are recorded in the books. All right. So let's talk about this last book. This last book. It's very clear in Revelation 20, it's the book of life. And he said, all these other books were opened, and then the book of life was opened. And so here's what it says in the book of Revelation about the book of life. In Revelation 3:5, it says, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 20:15, which we have been reading, but let's read it again. And I saw the dead, both small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse 27, but there shall by no means enter into it, into heaven, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, a couple reasons for that. Number one is in heaven, in the new heaven, the new earth, in God's kingdom, God doesn't want, and nor do the rebels want. God doesn't want any rebels. Only those who want Jesus to be the Lord of their life. Because he is the Lord of all, but we have to choose for him to be the Lord of our lives. And if we are rebels and we don't want that, it is our choice, but God also does not want rebels, cowards, the unbelieving, and it lists a number of types of categories of people that will not be allowed to be in heaven. Why? Their name's not in the book of life. Because they didn't choose for it to be there because they were rebelling, unbelieving. So you want your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, it's interesting. I think it's interesting because he talks in there about, I won't blot out your name. So different theologians have different mindsets on this, but I think it's worth mentioning. So one mindset is this. Historically, back in John's day, John, who wrote the book of Revelation, the apostle John, back in his day, in a city, they had a register that listed the names of every citizen in that particular city. And then if people committed crimes or rebelled or otherwise dishonored their standing in the city, they could be called before the tribunal to be sentenced and to have their name removed, literally blotted out from the city's register. Such individuals would no longer be considered citizens and would be forced to live elsewhere. So some people believe that's this picture, that all of our names started off in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then as we chose or choose to reject Jesus Christ, to rebel against God, to commit crimes against heaven, if you will, then our name is blotted out. And unless Jesus becomes the Lord of our lives, unless at some point we repent, and it's never too late, as long as you're breathing, it's not too late. You might have been resisting God your whole life, but it's still not too late. If there's something in your heart today that's saying, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, what was I thinking? God, just be merciful. Listen, it's not too late for you. You're still breathing. You can still have an opportunity to return and repent and come to the Lord. But so some believe that when you do come to the Lord, if your name was blotted out, that if you do come to the Lord, Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, your name is written in. Some people believe that the book has blank pages and your name is only written in once you receive Jesus as Lord. And I suppose you could debate both of those views for a long time, but I think the bottom line is you want your name in the book. You want your name written in the book. And all the people said, and how do you make certain that your name is written in the book? It's your choice. The Bible says, I set before you life and death. Choose. You choose life. It's our choice to humble ourselves before the Lord and to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, I have sinned. I have kept secrets nobody knows. And guaranteed, in a room this size, those of you watching online, those of you at the cathedral, it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. There are things in our lives no one knows. Nobody knows. God knows. Words we have spoken, it is guaranteed. We've all said words we regret. We've taken the Lord's name in vain, maybe many, many, many times. We've lied. We've gossiped. We've slandered. We've been hateful. We've been mean-spirited. We have said things we regret. All of us have. For all have sinned, the Bible says, and fall short of God's perfection. But that's why it's such good news, isn't it? That's why the gospel is such good news. Jesus came to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He had to pay the wage our sin demanded. And he did pay that wage by dying on a cross. He took the punishment we deserved so that we would not have to spend eternity in a place called the lake of fire. In fact, let me share a couple verses with you in closing. Let me have you see this in John chapter 3, verse 18. Of course, we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world. That's not why he came. He came into the world to save the world. Jesus came to save the world. Save the world from what, by the way? Save us from what? From the lake of fire. From eternal separation from the Father because of sin. Now, verse 18, it says, he who believes, John 3:18, he who believes in him, Jesus, is not condemned. Yay! That's good news. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 5:24 says this. Jesus said this. Listen, you got to hear this. Jesus said this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. You'll not come into the great white throne judgment. You will not be at this throne. You'll be at the other throne, the judgment seat of Christ. That'll happen 1,000 years before this judgment. And this is a judgment for rewards. You shall not come into this judgment, but has passed. He's passed from death to life. You've passed. When Jesus is the Lord of your life, you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he said he was, that he died on the cross for your sins, that God raised him from the dead. You believe that. You may not understand it completely, but you believe it. And then you believe that in your heart, and then you confess with your mouth. You say with your words, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. From this moment on, I surrender to you. I get off the driver's seat. I slide over to the passenger side, and I ask you to sit on the throne of my life, in the driver's seat, so to speak. Listen, when you do that, Jesus said, when you make that decision to believe and to surrender to his lordship, that you, in that instant, you pass from death to be spiritually separated from God. You're not the dead any longer. You pass from being dead to life, being united, reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. It's simple. I mean, it's so simple. It's so basic, really, if you will, and yet God gives us the choice to choose. He won't force us, but for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever will believe in his Son would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And I know for sure that's God's heart for you. It's God's desire for you today. Everybody in this room, all of you over at the cathedral, everybody online, those of you guys in the atrium. Listen, don't let another day go by that you don't know for certain where you will spend eternity. This life is a blip on the radar screen. I mean, you could live to be 104. It's still a blip on the radar screen as it relates to eternity. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere. We are going to stand before the Lord. And going back to our original questions, which throne will you be at? Will you be at the judgment seat of Christ because you're a believer in Jesus and that is a judgment for rewards? It's a celebration judgment. Think Olympics, judging of the ice skaters, judging of the divers. Your life will be judged and then rewarded accordingly. Or will you be at the other throne, the great white throne, which is not a place for rewards, it is a place to be sentenced. And I think obviously all of us don't want to be at that one. And so let me close out in prayer, and in just a moment, Eric will come up. And he will lead us in an altar call. He'll lead all of us in the room, online, at the cathedral, all of us in an altar call to respond to today's message. And let's be sure your words get out there into all of eternity. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our time together. Thank you for making it so simple, the gospel simple, for showing us things to come. Lord, and so as we close out our service, I just thank you that the Holy Spirit's doing in the hearts of each and every one of us the things that only he can do. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us an opportunity to respond to that, to declare today Jesus is the Lord of our lives and to stir us up to win as many people to Christ as possible. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And all the people said, amen. Praise the Lord.